Did you, those who were here this morning, were offered these little slips that tell about my website? Did any of you get this? Eric, why don't you make sure that those, if you didn't get one of these, you can just get one and throw it away, but don't do it while I'm looking, it'll hurt my feeling. I also want to say that I've written some books. Now, I don't carry them around because the book trailer sells them. The ABCs sells the books that I write. And so the first one I ever did was called Transforming Prayer, Praying to Be and Not to Get. And then I did another one called If With All Your Heart, A God Seeker's Guide to Effective Prayer. I did one called Standing Firm. I did one called, let's see, Standing Firm, What to Expect in the Christian Life. I did, you can put them, wrap them up here with this.
Okay.
And then I did one called Lord, Keep Your Mansion to Save Our Children. And then I did one called Lord, Save Our Family Before It's Too Late. And then was it last year, the year before, I did one called Lord, Save My Church, Tackling the Tough Issues. If you haven't seen that, I'm telling you this because you can go on the web and go to Adventist Book Centers, one word, .com, and just type into the search, type Richard O'Feel, and these will flop up. And then the new book that I've done is called The Fruit of the Spirit, It's What You Are That Counts. And so that'll be the book that comes on with the Sabbath school lesson, but it's a freestand. It doesn't reference the Sabbath school lesson. In other words, it's a freestander. And I think that it's, you know, when I write a book, Justin, and I pick it up, I can't tell I wrote it. I'll look at this and say, well, this is the best book I ever read. No. But I don't feel like I wrote it. You know what I'm saying? I just read it. Anyway, this last one, The Fruit of the Spirit is What You Are That Counts, is a good one. And also you need to get Lord, Save My Church, Tackling the Tough Issues. It's got my picture on the front of it. And I didn't give it that name. The Pacific Press did. And I didn't want my picture on the front. My wife got mad. Called them up and said, don't do that. They did it anyway. Do you know, with books, the printing houses are the ones that get to name it and put the cover on it. So we don't do that ourselves. Now, I did name Lord, Keep Your Mansions, Just Save My Children. And some people thought that was rude or irreverent. I said, no, that's the way men talk. You see, that wasn't saying I don't like your mansions. That was saying, Lord, more important to me than anything is my children. And so anyway, I thought I'd tell you that. And the thing about the website, before we start this, this last one is going to be what the Christian home looks like in upstate New York. You notice how I applied that, Justin? I just tweaked that down. I could say in Elmira, but there's people here from other churches, right? So anyway, I'd like to just ask you, you've been here today, haven't you? Some of you were here last night. But what have you heard me say? In other words, when you say, they'll say, what did Richard O'Feel speak about? You'll say, well, to me, the thing I remember was... Come on, Eric, come on. Stand up so they can hear.
Okay.
Stand up so they can hear and look at them.
Look at who?
Them. Okay. In other words, Eric's going to tell you... What he's going to say he remembered from the weekend. Now, I didn't tell him. This caught him completely. He's nervous as he can be. And I'm going to ask some of the rest of you. So get it in your mind. I'd like to invite all of you here that were here. And don't get too nervous. You say, he's liable to ask me what I remember from this weekend. Is that fair enough? I mean, you got to do that because you can just... I'll say more about it. Go ahead, Eric. Tell us what you remember.
The nice thing about this question is he gives you $50 afterwards. But... I think the nicest thing, wrapping this up in a summary, would be in how we treat other people. Well, it's one of the There's many, but that's one of them.
Yeah. And those other people would be who?
Family.
Family. It starts there. It starts there. Yeah. In fact, the Apostle John says, if you don't treat the people right, don't even talk to me. Remember where he said that? He said, if you don't love your brother, then don't say you love me. It doesn't work. And then as we talked today during the sermon, that it's loving your enemies. You know, remember where Jesus said, you can love anybody. You can love your buddies. But unless you love those who are enemies, then you don't know what it's like. And also, you know, the word love is, you don't have the problem with love when you talk about it in Spanish. Because you, in other words, you can't say you love apple pie in Spanish. You got to say you like it. But you can say in English you love apple pie. It gets the word love all scrambled up. Okay, my host this weekend is Norman. Have you met him? He's very nice. And he's now going to tell you. He just came in for the last meeting because he came from another church. But Norman, tell these wonderful people. What's that?
You didn't tell me about this morning.
No, of course not, huh? No, you just heard my last talk, didn't you?
Well, I was here last week, and I wasn't to the church's Sabbath school service. But, you know, I am impressed the way you make the presentation. You make learning about Jesus and loving our family a happy occasion.
You know? Okay.
And you put positive things in life and spice it up to make us understand things a little more.
Yeah.
As far as our relationship between Christ, our relationship to family,
uh-huh.
and our relationship to the community.
Okay. Okay. Now, Luke was telling me, I said, Luke, you got a family? He said, yes, and they're Baptist. Luke, you've been here. He started helping me last night. And so you're going to go home, and if somebody said, Luke, where you been all day? And you say, I've been in a revival. And they're going to say, Luke, what you talking about? What was it about?
Well, I would tell them that it was mostly, I could tell that the speaker loves his wife a whole lot. And he loves people a whole lot. And I think he has Christ at his heart. I think he's for real. And the words he spoke of, we have to have the Holy Spirit in us in order to get any place. It's the most thing I got out of.
I'm glad. And I think that, you see, remember when I ask you this question is just when we go home. See, because Justin, you may have heard me say before, people, it's like when you preach a good sermon, Justin, or Roger preach a good sermon. People go home and say, you know, you heard us. Justin preached today. It was the best sermon I ever heard. My lens, I'll never be the same. And the other person says, what was it about? There we go. I don't know. And you know, somewhere along the line, you know, people go to ball games and they can tell you who hit the home run. And they can tell you their batting scores. They know the whole business. And I just wish that we were as clear in our thinkings about the things that matter. And so when we talk to each other and we talk about spiritual things, that we can talk about it and say, you know, I was there with Elder Ophir and we talked about the family. And you know, one of the things that I really appreciate, you know, just talk about it. But I think we're scared of each other. Say, well, you know, speaking of being scared of each other, reminds me of the three ministers that were playing golf together. And they started talking about vices. And one of them said, you know, talking about vices, I guess my vice is I like to take a few dollars and put it on the lottery. And that's my vice. And the other one said, well, talking about vices, he said, I like to just have a little cup of wine. Once in a while, I have a little cup of wine. I suppose that's my vice. And the third one says, my vice is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. I think we're afraid of each other. I think we're afraid of each other. And I think we need to come and get together and just talk with one another. We don't need to let it all hang out. But we need to talk about the principles of Christian life. What does it mean when it says, be joyful in the Lord? What does that mean? You see, we'll scramble the words, and this is in that book on the fruit of the Spirit. We'll scramble the words joy and happiness. We work them back and forth. The Bible doesn't scramble them. You're happy, huh, that you won the lottery or that you overcame your enemies. But your joy, Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. It's not the same. It's not the same. So if we're looking for happiness, we're not going to find it a lot of times. When Jesus was going to the cross, He wasn't happy. You know what I'm saying? But He was full of joy because of what was going on. And so I think that we ought to orientate our lives through the Holy Spirit more to joy than to happiness. Because happiness depends on the weather. I'm happy that the sun's come out, but I'm unhappy that it's going to get cold tonight. But I'm filled with joy because Jesus is in my heart. Anybody else have to just say one thing before we go on and do our last go? Oh, I feel so good. I'll go home and say, you know what? They were just really moved. What'd they say? They didn't say anything. What do you do about that, Justin? I guess you can't do anything, right? You got to have the joy. You're not happy, but you're full of joy, knowing that at least they came.
I bet they
remember you ate
last night.
Piggies? What about that, Mac? No, it's called old-fashioned pottery. No, it's country buffet. You know I do that on purpose, don't you, Mac?
Oh, sure.
Sure. I mean, I do that on purpose. I do that with my wife, and she gets so, she rolls her eyes. But I can't help it. That's my vice. Anyway, what I want to do, on that website, there's a place, it's called Audio Sermon, and there's a list of them there where I preach. And so I'd like for you to play some of those, if you can. Now, you can't do that over at Norman's. He's got the world's oldest computer. And when you turn on his computer, it's George Washington welcoming you to the. I clicked on the Explorer, then I went out to Fatty's and came back, and it was just sitting on the screen. It takes that long. And I said, "Get your kids to get your computer, Norman." And they got that one, so they get a new one, I'll bet. No, the computers are nice, aren't they? And they now my oldest, not one of my oldest, but one of my grandsons is addicted to it, to computer games. And I feel bad about that. His father is the director of computers for ADRA down there in Washington. And I don't know what's going to happen to that boy, because it's affected, I think, his personality. He just comes home and jumps on that thing. And his brother's not that way. But anyway, if you go on to revivalsermons.org, you'll see that I do some sermons that you can listen to. And if you've got a good computer,
I could print your sermon.
Yeah. Let me respond to that. Is that there's some video sermons. I don't know. There may be 10 of those where you hear me preach someplace. But printing them, there's 70. At least 70 sermon manuscripts. If you've seen them, Justin, have you seen them? And so, listen, Justin, let me just give you a hint, boy. If you've worked hard all week and you didn't have time to do a sermon, you just on Friday night, man, you just go over there to Revival Sermons, you just look down the index, you pick yourself out a good one, and you bring it onto the desktop. Then you go to Find and Replace. And what you do is say, find Pastor Ophiel or Richard, and you replace with Justin. And then you
hijack.
Yeah, that's right. And then you enter, and it's yours. Make it yours. Seriously, one of the reasons I do that, because some have said to me, the elders in churches, you know, that are out there have to preach, they'll say that helps us a lot.
Amen.
Is we're able to go out there and pull that sermon down and preach that sermon. Another thing that Betty and I are going to start doing is that we'll take a kind of a sermonette and we'll put it with a sermon outline and then we'll hook it to a PowerPoint. And then I have a mailing list and I send something out about once a month or every 3 weeks. And there's more than 1,000 on that list. And so once in a while, I'll give a little paragraph of something that I've thought of or read that's good. And then last time I said, if you would like a sermon on accountability, on repentance, then you just let me know. And I don't know how many came back and said send it to us. And so what we do then, we have a little thing on the website where we upload the thing. And then we tell you where to go and it comes down to you. And so I want to do that more because there's nothing original under the sun. You know that, don't you? There's nothing original. And that we bring it together and we make it our own and we give it our own experience. We give it our own personality. Because as we're using elders, as elders Roger are participating more and more, we need to help them preach. We need to give them tools to preach. So check out revivalsermons.org if you want to. I have a Spanish one too called The Victorious Christian or Cristiano Victorioso. Anyway, you do what you can do. Now you may think, well, Dick, you're too old for that. Just go ahead and go somewhere and drop dead and let us young people get on with it. You know, I have a thing on this business of young people in the church. Frankly, I'm going to talk to you heart to heart. I don't think we ought to give the church over to the young people. You know, I say, we need to give the church over to the young people. Let me tell you what the market has done. It's taken young people and put a box around them. It makes it its own culture, the young people. It provides their clothes, their everything they do, puts a box around them. Then it'll put a box around the next one. It'll put a box around the women, put a box around the men, puts a box around the old people. You know what I'm saying? Listen, life's not that way. Now, I want to tell you this. I was a part of the church of the past, but I'm a part of the church of the present. And the young people are the church of the future, but they're also the church of the present, which means we're all in the church right now. And I see the church of God as a freeway. We're all on the freeway, and there's on-ramps and off-ramps. And so I think we ought to bring the young people on board. I don't think you say, take it over, you drive. Man, it's like, you know, turning your airplane over to a guy that doesn't know how to fly. I tell people sometimes, I like the young people because they're energetic and they're talented and they got enthusiasm. But I got something they don't have. Experience. We need each other. I tell these people, I say, you know, when I take a flight on an airplane, you know who I don't want to fly it? I don't want you to fly it, boy. Get somebody on that knows how to fly. Isn't that the way it is? We need each other. I think it's time we bring the young people amongst us. But to turn the church into a young people's church, how can you do that? And another thing I think in youth ministries, and I know they'll disagree with me, because this youth ministries thing doesn't see it the way I see it. But, see, I don't think we ought to treat 18-year-olds like they're always going to be 18. Because they're not. They're going to be 25, 35, and 45. So if I'm going to treat them and lock up 18, I'm doing them a disservice. Because they're going to be 25 one day and still think they're 18. And so I see us as a flow. Roger, you see what I'm saying? It's a natural flow. I think we ought to be in our churches in giving them participation. I couldn't see anything wrong. I'll mention this. This is coming on. Or maybe I'll mention it now while I'm thinking about it. And that is, what would be wrong in the worship service for the opening prayer to have a mother and a father and a little boy come and give the opening prayer? You know what that looks like to me? It looks like family worship. That's what that looks like. In other words, but I remember when I was a boy, how they said, don't stand behind that pulpit. Well, we've got to, you see, this is another thing that's gone wrong. We're not reverent anymore. We're not reverent anymore. But I don't see anything wrong with modeling what we're preaching. And if we're going to call on people to have family worship, no, I'm going to go to that in just a minute because I'm about ready to start the last round. I got 13 minutes. but anyways, will you stay with me till the sweet end? Yeah, this is easy. This last one's easy. And it's called the Christian Home here in Upstate. It has three characteristics. Now watch this. My wife tells me how to correct this. This has got three characteristics. One, two, three. I'm going to break the first one into pieces. Now I'm saying that because when it's over, I'm going to say to you, what was the first one? And then I'm going to say to you, what was the third one? And then I'm going to say to you, what was the second one? In other words, but don't let the fact that I break number one in three places confuse you. Because the first thing I'm going to say about the Christian home in Upstate is that it's a place of prayer. Now you say to me, Pastor O'Phil, we knew that? That's easy. But it isn't always, you know, we're doing deed to poo to pan and same as yesterday. The Christian home has three times for prayer. One is it has personal devotions. Another thing, it has family worship. And another one I'm going to mention in just a minute. This personal devotions, by the way, is so important. And you know what it means? Start the day with God. If we could just teach our children, teach this little guy. Oh, he's starting to feel nervous already. He's leaning up against his mother, and now he's sticking his head behind his mother's arm. But anyway, I'm sure you do this, sister. Teach our little children how to get on their knees in the morning and just talk to Jesus themselves. You don't have to make it long. Just say, "Dear Jesus, you know, I love you. I'm your little boy." You know? Now, men are bad for that. We men I don't know why the church is being feminized. We men are called to be the leaders in the church. Now it's because we men are not doing our duty that the women have to step up to the plate. But I've gone to homes, and if I want to talk about the computer, if I want to talk to old Norm about the computer, the old bad computer he's got, I talk to Norm. You know, if I want to talk to somebody else about the car, I talk to somebody else. But if I want to talk about Jesus, guess who I have to talk with? The little lady. Because the husband's got a subcontract with her. I'll take care of the roof, honey, you take care of Jesus. Isn't that the way it works? You know that's the way it works. It ought not to be. We men have been called to be the spiritual, not the spiritual dictators. Now, listen, fellas, I told you already earlier, I know what it's like to work on these crews where they cuss all day and tell dirty jokes. If we men, and we must get on our knees in the morning, give our hearts to Jesus, or we don't have a chance. You know, in the wars, they use this electronic warfare, and they could paint, they put an infrared or whatever it is, on a plane, and they send a rocket up and blow it up. And they have these things, I guess, that knows when you're being painted. They call it painted. And so if you know you're being painted, you better do something, because you don't have long. And we men need to know when we're being painted. We do that by getting on our knees in the morning. And I was telling some fellows, you'd say, you know, because we men are shy on spiritual things. But listen, let me tell you something, Luke. Now, you probably already pray in the morning. But you'd say, well, Pastor O'Ville, I'm too nervous. I mean, I just don't have the nerve to do that here in front of everybody. Well, do this, Brother Luke. Throw your shoes under the bed. Then when you get down on your knees to get the shoe, you say a prayer. I'm just doing this in case you're nervous, fellas. Just throw your shoes under the bed. Anyway, no, but seriously. Seriously, the husband and the wife, and we need to train to do this, to be alone with Jesus. And that's, in other words, a place of prayer, personal devotions. A place of prayer, family worship. Now, I think we need to, Pastor Justin, model that. Because you can say we ought to have family worship till the cows come home. And everybody says, I should, but they don't know what to do. What does that look like? And it's one thing to have family worship with this. When they're this big, it gets a little more complicated as they get older. But I'll tell you, we got to be careful with family worship, you know, because kids like this, they get roochy, see? Like, you know, they just started moving around. And you can say, "You just quit moving around. Shut up, or I'm going to slap your face. We're talking to Jesus." Now, you know what I'm saying? We've got to be careful with that family worship thing, because we can go really bad on that and give our children the wrong example. One thing I learned when we were raising Andrea, and I'm going to mention that in a few minutes, is that we would pray this way, and you probably do this, Eric. You pray, what's this guy's name?
Jeremiah,
say, "Jesus, help Jeremiah, and help him to be a good boy, and to make his bed, and to do his homework." And Jeremiah's sitting there saying, "Boy, I hope this prayer gets over pretty soon. I can't stand it any longer." What I want to say, Eric, if you're going to confess Jeremiah's sins, confess your own at the same time. Let him hear it. And so help him to be a good boy, and help Daddy to be kind. And you know, the other day I was being a... And Jesus, help, forgive me for that. And you see how that goes? If we're going to teach our children how to repent, we got to repent ourselves. We got to admit. You know, I think if you don't do it already, we've got to ask our children to forgive us. Anyway, family worship. Personal devotion, place of prayer, family worship. And here's the next one. And that is, we men, Roger and Justin and me, we're paid to pray. We're pastors. It's part of our work description. And so, you know, your phone rings. And you pick up the phone. "Hello, Pastor. You know, I'm so discouraged. Would you pray with me?" "Yes, ma'am." So you pray. Bing. "Hello, Pastor. You know, my uncle's in the hospital. Would you pray for him?" "Yes, ma'am." So I realized, you know, in fact, if you'd have said to me, "Pastor O'Phil, go pray with the roses," I'd say, "Yes, ma'am." You know, because you can't say no. We're paid, pastors. We're paid to pray. Here's the point I want to make. I realized one day I was praying with anybody, everybody, anything and everything but Betty. No, we prayed before we ate. We had family worship. When we get in a trip, make a trip. But we weren't praying together, just us. And I thought, I don't know what this is about. Why can't Betty and I just pray together out loud? Now, I'm talking about myself. And I want to tell you, I thought something's wrong. Now I want to tell you that even as a minister, I mean, I'm not so nervous when I talk to you. I'm a little nervous. But I'll pray with you because I have to. But why am I not praying with Betty? Just the two of us. And one day I said, I got to do that. And so I said to Betty, "Would you mind?" So we do that now, just before we get in bed. She on her side of the bed, me on mine. We pray out loud. At first it wasn't easy, because we men are not into that. And I was staying one weekend at a home with a deacon. The head deacon, every time we prayed to sit down to eat, we prayed, she prayed. I wanted to say, "Deacon, where are you in this, man? How come she's having to pray all the time?" Anyway, Betty and I pray together, and I want to just tell you this. You can't be plotting to divorce your wife and be praying with her every day. You can't do it. No matter how hard you try. Families that what? Pray together, stay together. And I was suggesting this, because I talk about this as often as I can. I suggested this, and a woman, the next day she came to the meeting, she said, "Pastor O'Phil, my husband and I went home and prayed together last night for the first time. You should have heard what he said. I have so much respect for him now." What about that guy? Isn't that what we want more than anything? If you don't do it, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to have to just tell you this. If you don't pray with your wife, just the two of you out loud, give it a try. You can do that with Baptist wives too, by the way. Huh? You can do that. Just say, Honey, let's pray together. You know, I want to just be what you want me to be. I want you to be proud of me. And try that tonight. Now, it's not going to be easy, so you don't need to be fancy. Women pray out loud easier than we do. But do it. Just try to do it at least. And when you get home, you go to bed tonight, you just kind of look at each other like, say, are we supposed to do something? And you'd say, yeah, we've never done. What am I going to do? Well, let's try it. Now, you may do it one time tonight. You may not do it tomorrow night, but do it on Monday night. Don't be fancy. Don't be long. Don't preach at her. Just talk about it. Is that all right with you? A place of prayer. Here in upstate, the Christian home is a place of prayer. It prays, private devotions, family worship, and it prays with its spouse. The second one is really tough. And I'm only saved this second one toward the last, because when I do this, you're going to go after me, and I'm going to be running down the street. Although Norm, you loan me your car, they're going to have to get me for stealing cars, because I'm going to hit the freeway and head toward the border. Because you're going to be upset with me. You're going to be upset with me with what I'm about to say next. You're going to be upset with me, so I don't think I'll say it. Unless you insist. Should I? By popular demand. And you won't hurt me. Listen, our brothers and sisters. We've got to do something about the television. About the television. The television is watched by the average family. Is inconsistent with everything you're praying Jesus will do in your life and in your home.
You preach it straight. Because the Bible says that a righteous man is bold like a lion. And the Bible also says it's both in Proverbs. He doesn't turn away from any.
Yeah. But you see, I wanted permission, see, because now they're messed up. They hooked up with this, you know. In other words, if I had just started preaching that, they'd have said, oh, right. But now it's by popular demand. And I know what you're saying. Thank you for the encouragement. But listen, I'm not going to prove this. I'm not going to read you a bunch of scientific studies. You know, and I know, that the television is against everything that we're praying of Jesus to do for us. You know that. I was staying in a place, in a motel. And I'd rather stay with Dennis anytime. It's rough because the computer's bad. But his wife cooks good. And so that kind of makes up for it. And so I'd rather stay with our people than stay in a five-star hotel. I'd rather be with our people. And anyway, I was in this motel, and I had had some supper, and so I didn't have anything to do. So I figured I'd turn on the TV. And I didn't do the pay-per-view, all the pornography you ever want, you know. It was just one of the local stations, just as it comes down the line. And I just watched those programs. And then I got on my knees to say the prayer. And I got halfway through my prayer and I stopped. And I said, I'm not going on with this because this doesn't make sense. I can't do this. I can't pray. In fact, I can't pray for the fruit of the Spirit and be watching these people lie, kill, cheat, and steal. I mean, come on, God is not mocked. Can't do it out of just two sides of your mouth. And so I decided that I would rather have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you got to watch out. You can say, Pastor O'Bill, I only watched a good program. That gets to be pretty relative. I was talking to a guy one time. He said a family got a TV, and they dedicated it to Jesus. No, I'm just saying. And they said they're going to watch just the good stuff. And he said, I visited them 3 months later. They were watching everything that came down the pike and they didn't know anything had changed. Nothing is burning out our brains and our consciences. You know, if somebody looks in your bedroom window, they call that a what?
Peeping Tom.
Peeping Tom. The television programs, they're doing it. They're doing sex live. Similarly, I mean, it's right up to that point. Isn't that right? Right or wrong? And we're watching that going, "Ee." Is it any wonder that our marriages are in trouble? And I'm not telling you you can't watch the television. I've got one. It's not, and I just do that for this 3ABN. I don't watch 3ABN. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, what's wrong with just walking in the house? You know, I don't have to have something, music, and I like a little music. I'll do it on Friday evening. But hey, what's wrong? Be still and know that I'm God. Just now, you may be alone, and you may need that to comfort you. By the way, the Lord is with the people that are alone. You know, somebody said to me during the break, what about us single people? Well, I've never been single. I was only single till I was 19 when I got married. And I've been blessed, and the singleness is all over the place. All over the place. But we have to believe that some way, and I don't know how that goes, that the Lord will be a comfort to us. He'll make up the difference. But I would say this. I've had some people call me with these kinds of things. I'm thinking of one, I don't know, I've never seen her. I think she's out in California, and her life is kind of saddish. And I said to her, why don't you visit a convalescent home? Because you see, when we look in on ourselves, it gets to be pretty boring. And so I just said, just try that. And she called me back, and she said, oh, what a joy that is. Now, she's a single girl. But as soon as she started reaching out to help others, are you taking notes? Anyway, and somebody else called me, and this woman has had some big challenges in her life, and I suggested the same thing. And I hadn't done that before, Justin, because I didn't even know it was going to work. It worked. Both these people came home and came back and they said, Pastor Ophiel, oh, I love that. Because we tend to fall in on ourselves. I mean, we ministers will fall in ourselves, in the family. But once we start reaching out to bless others, it maybe doesn't make the problem go away, but it makes it bearable. It makes it bearable. Anyway, that television thing, you hear what I'm talking about. You may say to me, Pastor Ophiel, you're right. I feel like you do. And I've tried to do something about it, but when I talk to my wife about it, she says she gets a spiritual blessing from watching the soap operas. What am I going to do? And I say, negotiate with her. Just negotiate. That's what they do in diplomacy. So what you do is you say to her, sweetheart, darling, you know, sugar plum, you know how I feel about watching the TV. And I also know how you feel that you get a spiritual blessing from watching the soap opera. I respect that. But why don't we make an agreement. Let's have a TV for 5 years and we'll be without one for 5 years. And she's going to say, sweetheart, I love you, honey. That sounds good to me. And then you say, we've already had your 5 years. Do something about it. Do something about it. Whatsoever things are pure, and how can we be looking at that stuff? Hey, what you see is what you hit. Television is deciding our attitudes, our thoughts, is filling us with all this lust. It tells us what clothes to wear, what to eat, what car to drive, the business. The business. And I don't think it's right. It's not right. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like what it does to my emotions. You see, I want to tell you this. You may think I'm just a weakling. I've got about all I can stand in my real world. With my kids and my grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? I got all I can stand. God's given me strength. He's given me the emotional strength. But I can't bear to bring in the problems of the world. And watch people pretend they're mad and pretend they're this. And I'm too sensitive for that. I don't even watch the news all day long. I mean, when I watch, listen to it all day long. Because if there's a car wreck in Seattle, CNN will play that wreck all day long. And there's 300 million of us. Why should we be burdened down with a car wreck in Seattle? You know what I mean? All day you're all hung up because there's a car wreck in Seattle. No, I feel sorry about that, but I've got my world that I live in. I want to be a man of God in that circle. And I'm concerned when they have these things, but I cannot bear the burdens of the world. I cannot heap on my head emotions of all these things, more than I can bear. And so I'm just saying to you that the world's choking us out now. It's moving in on us. And what we're going to have to do is just put it out. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord's got to raise up a standard against him. If we don't fight back on this stuff, we're going to lose what's the most important and precious for us. So the Christian home in upstate, it's a place of prayer. It does something about television. And finally, and I'm just about done. This text that I'm going to use is Ephesians 4 verse 32. Now the rest of these points, could I have done text for them? You bet. Galatians, Ephesians 4 verse 32. Listen to this. It says, be kind to one another. What would our homes be like? Or no, I should ask this. How long would you last on the job if you talk to your boss like you talk to your wife?
I'm my boss.
I'll have to talk to your wife then, I guess. But you hear what I'm saying? In other words, one man said, I can't wait to get home at night. I get so tired of being kind all day. What would our homes be like if we're just kind? We raised Andrea for 5 years. I raised her different. I was in my 50s. Now you think, well, as your granddaughter, you know, you old grandpas and all that. No, I raised her different because when my kids were young, my kids would come to me because I thought if you're going to be in charge, you've got to be tough. My kids would come to me and say, Daddy, can I? I'd say, no. Just tell them no because you've got to be tough. You're in charge. But Daddy, I said no. But Daddy, come on. Don't you hear me? Okay. I decided that I can be in charge and be nice. Hey, we can be real men and be kind. We don't have to be mean. Little Andrew would come to me. She'd say, Grandpa, can I? And I'd listen to her. You know, that's what you want to do first to your children. Before you say no, listen to what they got to say. And if there was nothing wrong with that, say yes. You're spoiling her. No, there was nothing wrong with it. Let her be. And I didn't always say yes. So I'd say no. Guess what she'd do? No screaming, no kicking, no biting. She'd just walk away. You see, one of the reasons we get into trouble with our children, they're screaming because they don't know how it's going to turn out. They know if they scream loud enough, they're liable to get it. By the way, I heard another one, Eric. You're going to like this. Let your children have the last word. Never heard that before. Because they want to negotiate with you. And you'll say, honey, do this. And they'll say, but I don't. Why do you ask me? Let them have the last word. In other words, you've told them just they can do it. Anyway, that gets on another subject. But anyway, I decide I can be kind. And as we close this revival weekend, this is my challenge to you. Go home, be kind. Go home, be kind. You might say, Pastor O'Field, you know, I know you're right on that, and I'd like to be kind, but I've been mean too long. I've been mean all these years, and if I was going to be kind, I'd have to quit my job, go back to university, and take courses in how to be kind. And I'd have to get a student loan. Everybody here knows how to be kind. You say, how do you know? You don't even know my name. No, I know everybody here knows how to be kind. I know that because you've been kind to me all day long. And I've been saying these things. But you keep smiling. You say, man, wow. Go home. Be kind. What do you say?
Amen.
Go home, be kind. We need Jesus in our hearts. And we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit in the life. But we've got to be swept and cleaned so that we can be filled. Now you can read all the books from all these columnists and everything else. But I want to tell you, unless you've been born again, it's Teflon. It'll land on you, it'll slide right off. But when Jesus gets into your heart, it sticks. It sticks. Now I'm going to do a little quiz here, because I want you to get what I've said. The Christian home up here in upstate New York has three characteristics. What's the third one?
Gotta read my notes.
3 points, three miserable points. And I just finished the third one. I spent about 1 minute ago, and the guy has to read his notes. Okay, let's try that again. Now, I'll pretend we haven't done this. And so the Christian home of here in upstate New York has three characteristics. What's the third one?
Be kind.
All right. All right. We're doing good so far. This is, remember this, you can count to three. Here in upstate New York, the Christian home has 3 points. The first one is?
Prayer.
Prayer. That's right. And now let's see here. I've been seeing you while you, I've seen you smile and everything. And so tell these people, you know, the Christian home has 3 points. What's the second point?
The television.
Do something about television. Place of prayer. She got that because they get really nervous when I do that. You know, I know you get really nervous. You can't even.
My hands are sweating. I thought you were.
He said his hands are sweating. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make His face to shine upon us in our homes, in our hearts, in the church. May the Lord lift His countenance upon us all and give us peace.